In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us first join together in thanksgiving and prayer. Holy, righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, we wish to thank you this beautiful summer morning for all thy good gifts, all that which you bless into our lives. We thank thee for our health. We thank thee that we have been able to hold summer services. You have again given us a new day and possibility to quieten around your word. And for this also we bring thanks unto you. We thank you for our kingdom, your kingdom, and of the most precious treasure, the gospel of forgiveness of sins, which you have made us a partaker of through faith. Now when we go to read your word and to study it, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be present to direct our speech and our thoughts, so it could enlighten unto us your will. You, Father, know all of us. You know our needs and our lackings. You can and will give according to that you see us as that we need. You also see the poorness and emptiness of your servant. You can and you have promised through these kinds of spirit servants to feed and to nourish your children. Even now we wish to trust in your promise and to be satisfied with this, that you see good to give. And so we pray for service blessing with those words of prayer that Jesus himself has taught us. Hear us when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For the topic of my sermon, and for our mutual topic of study, I will read the Word of God from the Acts of the Apostles, the end of the 8th chapter, verses 26 until verse 39, to almost the end of the chapter. And the words are read here in Jesus' name. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understand thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, rejoicing. Amen. This text which I read is one of the many stories that are told in the Bible where we are as if held by our hands and told of how a person can find the kingdom of God and become a child of God. It is the care of God that he has in his word very clear and very direct, simple happenings to preserve. Often when I have read this text portion, my attention in the beginning is focused upon how clearly here is given a picture of this, of how well God knows and understands where his own are. This text that I read begins, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. God knew exactly where Philip, this man who was called Philip, this believer, and he sends him a message, a saying to Philip. The hearer is not told of what kind of an angel was in question there. Was in question an enlightened angel who are also sent to serve servants of God, or was the Bible here using the name of an angel of some other child of God, a believing person who spake to Philip? But from the viewpoint of this story, there is not a big difference of this. The meaning is in this, that God sent a message to Philip to arise and go to a specific place. This also tells of this, how God also knows exactly where those people are who are longing to hear the message of the kingdom of God. God knew the exact coordinates of where returning from his prayer trip, this servant of Ethiopia, and to him he sent this Philip. I would think in this way that along with me and many others may often have this kind of a thought that does God truly have time and does he remember to take care and to see where am I? Does he have enough interest? Does he see it as necessary to know? These kinds of biblical stories strengthen our faith in this, that God truly does know. He is very interested in us people. He keeps an exact counting of our different times and our situations. Doesn't it speak unto us that God knows much more exactly than we ourselves know how we are doing? Which one of us know how many hairs we have or how many are falling off? And yet the Bible says that not even a hair can fall from our head without the Heavenly Father knowing of it. This can also be comforting us, this, that we are not being blown around by the wind. Rather, we are being taken good care. Of that high Ethiopian servant is told that he is on a return trip. When he has went to Jerusalem to pray. Of this we can think that he is certainly wished to pray to God, and as if to make assurance of this, that God would hear him. And for this reason, he has left on this long and tiring journey to the holy places in Jerusalem to pray there so that he would more certainly be heard. Now he is on his return trip and he is reading the Holy Scriptures. And I've sometimes thought, and even now think, that here in some way, as if the flows this more or less as if he is dismayed that he has not received that which he had hoped for and what he wished to receive from his journey. He is, I'm sure, wished that he would receive assurance of this, that God has heard his prayer. This, our text tells us that, so it truly is that God had heard his prayer and also answered. And so this is how God works. He wishes that we as people would pray unto him in many places in the Bible, encourages us to pray and assures us that God will hear. God hears us with a tender ear, the prayer of us people, and He also answers them. He answers to our prayers, but often He answers according to His own schedule and according to His own way. And that answer of God is not always exactly that which we as people would wait for or wish for. And this, at the same time, this speaks of this, that how through prayer we can approach God, and we can be assured of this, that God hears us. But also how through prayer we do not become children of God and enter into the kingdom of God. The answer of God to this journeyer was that He sent Philip to him to bring to him the greetings from heaven. When the Spirit directs Philip there to that road, and there he sees that now there is coming, I'm sure, from the outward sense, a mighty appearing group, because there was a journeying, a man of great authority, of the Queen of Ethiopia. And Philip gets encouragement to approach and to go near. And when he goes there, he hears how this traveler is reading aloud the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asks him, that do you understand thou what thou readest? Even this behavior of Philip, it speaks and advises us to this, that when we are encouraged and God wishes each one of us to use us in His duties, that we would have the strength to be without, as if valuing ourselves and our own abilities, but rather we would be humbly obeying, as Philip in this our text, that when he was encouraged, first of all, to go there to that road in the way of Gaza, as the Bible says simply, that so he arose. Bible says simply that he arose and went. And also, when he is then encouraged to go closer, he did not remain as if shyly, as if fearing because of honoring that he could not such a great travel flock or group approach, but he goes and begins to discuss with that person or man who was reading the Bible. From his answer, it comes clear that God has prepared his heart, probably also within that journey of prayer, to humbly see this, that he does not have the ability to understand. To him was not opened the writings of the prophet, and so he asks even, that could you tell me of who does the prophet speak, of himself or of some other? And so Philip, as if, receives a ready to prepared service text from where he begins. And here is even told to us that Philip opened his mouth and begins at the same scripture to preach unto him the gospel of Jesus. Here it is opened unto us. Several very broad viewpoints, onto a few of which, if God so wills, with a few thoughts, I will talk about. In our time, there are many people who think that a person can, with God, but just between the two of them, through prayer, take care of their matters, and so find communion with God, who also from the side of God, which is sufficient. Even this story of the Bible clearly shows us that this is not so. Just as clearly, there are several other. We can remember Cornelius, of which the Bible gives a good testimony that he prayed always. Also Paul, when he was Saul, after that time when God had approached him or taken hold of him there on the road to Damascus, he had to, as a doubly blind man, continue his way. He surely very ardently prayed. His prayer, just as Cornelius's prayer, went to God and was heard by him. And God answered to them by sending a bringer, carrier of the word from his kingdom to preach unto them the gospel. When Jesus was in his days of flesh in the midst of people here, his sermon and his teaching, as if the central theme was this, that the kingdom of God has approached. Make repentance. Believe the gospel. How many people, even in this time, think and even teach in this way that kingdom of God is not necessary? For what do we need the congregation of God? Christ is the most important. Christ is that portion, the central theme of faith. So it is. The point of faith is Christ, but Jesus himself kept as centrally important the finding of the kingdom of God. He put his sermon on the mount into this, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then all other this temporal things will be then given unto you. And this was also the Reformation of Martin Luther and his understanding when he says, if you wish to find Christ, first you must find those who believe on him, this kingdom of God through which God proclaims that gospel word, that good tidings, that all has already been prepared. And this can be taken, accepted with faith, and owned by faith. This also, this story of the Bible is enlightening and underscoring how important it is to receive a community or connection to those who have believed before, who through the ministry of the Holy Spirit have a duty to proclaim the gospel of Christ, which have also many times in these services been remembered, where Paul, in the beginning of the book to the Romans, says where he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for everyone that believeth it unto salvation. And there that righteousness that is acceptable before God is proclaimed from faith to faith. This cannot be grasped or as if with your own power. Rather, through the work of the Holy Spirit, it is proclaimed from faith to faith. There in the sermon of Jesus, another portion was this, that make repentance. Of repentance, many people in our time are thinking that it is enough when we would make a decision and as if a goal for to be better, sometime improve the habits of life and try to stay away from that which does not feel correct. And yet that repentance, it means to turn, to return, a change of mind. I have heard it been told that when Jesus used this word that make repentance, he used a word which means the same as same in that time that the shepherds of the sheep there at that time when they called a sheep that had been lost, and the meaning of that word had been to come back. The question is of a complete change of direction, nothing small remodeling of our ways of life. And to that, a person cannot with their own strength do. For this reason, for the encouragement to make repentance by Jesus, which is yet proclaimed from the kingdom of God today, it is related very tightly that believe the gospel. Even in these services, the meaning of the gospel and its meaning and central theme been enlightened in many speeches, and that, of course, it isn't necessary. It is such a great matter which is in question that we cannot even, as the best we though the best we try, we cannot examine it but from the edges. What does it mean? John is marveling about in this portion of the Bible which is known as the miniature gospel, when he writes that for God so loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would be condemned but would receive everlasting life. It shortly and condensedly tells of this, that God himself has in his Son atoned that great fall that happened in the fall into sin for all human mankind, and so cause this that we people cannot, of our own strength or with our own understanding, come approach God or last in front of Him. But God, through the atonement work of Christ, because of the atonement work of Christ, forgiven this fall and all sins. He has forgiven them. The question is incomprehensible and infinite love and grace. Yet, the Word of God tells of this, that when God saw that man could not, with their own understanding and logic and understanding, come unto God or come approach Him, He saw it fit to make righteous those who, through foolish preaching, believe that God, that salvation or atonement. The meaning of God is this, or is that redemption, that atonement, is meant for every person, all the people in all the world. Everyone can be a partaker of it. And He has this partaking should happen through faith. A person cannot, as if even the, with his own way, to accept this with God as an equal. Rather, the holy righteous God requires that a person would become humble, but despite their own trying, alone by grace, to accept this atonement, this mercy, to believe that proclamation which is proclaimed from the kingdom of God, that you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. He has done a perfect redemption, and you can, through faith, own it for yourself. So simply, on the other hand, is the gospel of the kingdom of God. It is sorrowful to hear how many people, in their own decisions and their own logic, come to that decision that I am certainly a believer and I wish to be, but I believe differently. I do not need for this kingdom of God. I do not need for this travel flock. But yet, God has this grace order so clearly and simply ordered, prepared. Everything has been made ready. Nothing is needed and nothing can be added to it, but you can own it by faith. This gospel of the kingdom of God, Philip proclaimed to that Ethiopian eunuch or servant, and God helped him to believe that. We can as if follow their journey and think that in the heart of that Ethiopian, the flame of faith was burning when he heard the speech of Philip. And when we come to the water, he asks that, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip then asks him, "If thou believest, then it can happen." Could we any more clearly the Bible tell relationship between baptism and faith. Even this, according to this portion of the Bible, as a believer, we are baptized. And then to this is joined the covenant of good conscience, as we have learned with God, which covenant is from God, strong and lasting, and it gives to a person always the possibility through repentance to return when sin has betrayed and drawn one away. This simple gospel, the kingdom of God, is proclaimed even in these summer services of Bori. And the most central and theme is this, and saying is that personal proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, even this morning, for you, dear hearer of the word, near and far, you have permission and encourage to uplift your heart to believe unto that redemption and that atonement that has been completely prepared even for your on your behalf. You can uplift your heart to believe, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and through faith own this righteousness which is acceptable before God. Isn't it of a unmeasurable gift in question here? And I especially think of you, dear travel friends, that are in some way or another bound in some way that you could not come to these summer celebrations. Even you, the Heavenly Father, wishes to remember and wishes to send these good greetings. He knows exactly where his own are, and he sends to them these greetings. Be of good cheer. Be secure. You can securely believe, sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And so be, with a joyful heart, owning the portion of a child of God. So each one of us can, even now, being comforted of the gospel, begin a new service day. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish also from my own heart to ask, that can I believe my own sins forgiven? So I wish to believe together with the throng of God.